We are into December. We are into the last month of 2025, the year of completion. What are we completing and how are we ending this year? I'm Jenny Russell. Welcome to Her Health and Happiness right here on UK Health Radio, your only real feel-good radio station, available on Android, available on podcast, available on iOS. How you doing? Tonight the world is ours. Hey, we're gonna have that girl. And I'm telling you, I made a new friend. I had the most amazing girl talk with the wonderful Rhiannon White. She is the CEO of Clue, and we had a beautiful heart-to-heart that you're going to enjoy today. I know you are. But even before I share that, I do hope your dancing shoes are on, because I'm telling you, this is amazing. And I hope you remember, like me, that you too are blessed and highly favored, a magnet for miracles, the solution to someone's problem. And I'm praying that the two topics I'm going to share today are the answer to your prayers. Throw your hair back, laugh, dance, enjoy. But listen, like I said, it's December. And before we have that girl talk, we are going to have a little bit of men talk. Because remember, the men in our life, our husbands, our partners, our brothers, our sons, our nephews, our cousins, our colleagues, they play important roles in part of our ecosystem. And what happens to them happens to us too, indirectly, emotionally, hormonally, and it does manifest and show in us, especially on the right side of our body. One or two. He said, she said, and we are going to hang out December the 13th, unfiltered, Soho. We're having this conversation. But you know, I'm loving my acronyms. And so, December's acronym is really aimed at you guys. It's aimed at you men. We love you, and it's aimed at you. So, December is not the finish line, right? We're looking at December, not as the finishing line for 2025, but actually, it's a diagnostic month, and it follows on from the World Men's Health Day. So we've used each letter and we've just taken it and aligned it to something that you can actually do for yourselves. But by the same token, as us as females, we can also do for ourselves. So D, detect. Early warning signs men routinely ignore. Fatigue, abdominal weight gain, erectile changes. That's not for us. Urinary frequency. That's the D in December. So then we've got that. We have the E, which evaluates. Evaluate blood pressure, blood sugar, waist circumference. That really is a big telltale sign. Alcohol intake, sleep quality is a massive one. I will not tell you today at my mum's during an extra day the time I'm recording this show. But I can tell you today's sleep quality, I'm the E, evaluate. Then we have C, circulation. Poor vascular flow underpins hypertension, erectile dysfunction, and prostate issues. So the way in which you're breathing, your breath, your vascular flow, how dilated your veins and arteries are. E, end the excess. This is a universal one. Sugar, salt, stimulants. Now, not all salts are created equally, so not all salt, right? Stimulants, late nights. Jennifer Russell. Emotional overload. M, masculine metabolism. How stress, cortisol, abdominal fat, and prostate inflammation interact. How do they come together and have a party in your body? The B, breath and blood pressure. Rest, autonomic nervous system regulation, vagal tone, these should be non-negotiables. When you come on the 13th, we'll explain to you how breath, autonomic regulation, and vagal tone come together. E, emotional containment. Anger, suppression, avoidance, silent distress, emotional containment, the precursors to cardiac and metabolic breakdown. And the last letter for December, R, reset. This gives us the chance. The final month becomes the preparation phase for a stronger, biologically younger new year. So, several conditions are highlighted in December in public health calendars, but critically, December is International Prostate Awareness Month in selected countries and major men's health organizations. It's also a month where heart attacks peak, cold weather, stress, alcohol, poor sleep, male health, mental health crises increase, holiday stress, loneliness, financial pressures, erectile dysfunction spikes, blood pressure, instability, sugar overload, stress, alcohol. All of these signs directly impact men's health, and all of these things will be discussed, how to reverse these symptoms or avoid these symptoms. Unfiltered, jennyrussell.com, click the link, book your ticket, 2-for-1, go to Eventbrite. Eventbrite, Unfiltered, Soho, 13th of December, book your tickets, 2-for-1, and there you get the opportunity to come along. So, I really think it's a great time for us. Like I said, December, if I just spell it out without the breaking down which each letter stands for, literally D-E-C-E-M-B-E-R gives you an opportunity to detect, evaluate, circulation, end the excess, masculine metabolism, breath and blood pressure, emotional containment, and reset. That's the month men break down quietly. Heart attacks rise, prostate symptoms flare, blood pressure destabilizes, and the emotional load deepens. Wow, that's deep, isn't it? So next week, Unfiltered on men's health, prostate performance, pressure, the realities men say, never say out loud even. And this is where science meets the story. And we have a neuroscientist, Dr. Oliver. We have a young man talking about mental health and the impact on becoming a father at the age of 11. And I mean, when I say not in the literal sense, but figuratively speaking, on the loss of his father, becoming the father to the house, and where and how we get to protect ourselves before the lessons consume us. So, that is what we have for next week. And I really do hope you get the chance to join us. But this week, we segue. I've had a great start. I'm really excited about December. I'm excited how we end the year strong. And again, women can come to that event as well. I've had women asking me, can I come? The answer is yes, 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 yes. Because once you understand what the challenges men face silently and otherwise, you have an opportunity to work together. What impacts them will always impact us in one way or another. Whether it's relationship, finances, intimacy, it will impact us. So it's very, very important for us to understand that. However, I have the most important interview to share, and literally I don't want to run out of time. So without further ado, I want to introduce the wonderful Rhiannon White. So I'm going to play a trail now, and then I'm going to introduce Rhiannon White, because I'm telling you, this was wonderful. I hope I don't have to cut and use the last part for next week, but I know you're going to enjoy this because it was an absolutely fantastic interview. So let's play a trail and let's bring in the wonderful Rhiannon White. Clue is amazing.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden. Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We are really blessed because we are going to be talking about our life cycles. We're going to be talking about our monthly cycles. And the company Clue, a fantastic app, unveils 1 year in our cycles. It's a candid look at how we have bled, how we have felt, how we have loved, and how we have lived this 2025 as we step into the final month of 2025. So it's an exclusive cycle tracking data that reveals 280 million days of bleeding that have been tracked across the globe over the last 12 months. So the app users have logged 34 million sex sessions and 4.4 million orgasms across 2025. We are going to talk about the discrepancy right there. 44.6 million days of cramps were recorded, the equivalent of 122,000 years of pain if shouldered by one person. The day after 2024 US presidential election, that day proved to be the emotional lowest of the entire year for females logged. So the one-year cycle is an annual snapshot of hormones and health with the aim of tackling taboo and stigma around the menstruation conversation. Now, before I bring in the wonderful Rhiannon, I just want to just give you a little background. So December the 1st, 2025, Clue, the number one women-led period and cycle tracker, trusted by over 100 million people worldwide. So this is not no small thing. Today releases its 1 year in cycles, an annual analysis of how women and people with cycles tracked their lives, bodies, and emotions throughout 2025. Based on hundreds of millions of anonymized logs made in the Clue app, this year's edition breaks down the real rhythms behind our moods, cravings, orgasms, sleep or lack of it, political fueled stress, and the 280 million days we've collectively spent bleeding, the equivalent of one person experiencing nearly 767,000 years of period. Could you imagine that? It's stressful. Menstrual health affects over half the population, yet the cultural taboo around it has left generations without the knowledge or support they deserve, commented Rhiannon White, who's going to come in very shortly, CEO of Clue. Our year in cycles reveals how profoundly our hormonal patterns intersect with our daily lives, bringing what has been hidden into the light, not to sensationalize it, but to normalize it. About time too, I say, by transforming millions of lived experiences into one clear, accessible insight. 1 year in cycles makes it possible for all of us to talk about hormones, pain, pleasure, and well-being with the same openness we talk about other life topics. So Rhiannon, right, with that being said, welcome to Her Health and Happiness.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I feel very blessed and honored to be here.
Oh no, it's my pleasure. Now I run a couple of things that I do these bi-monthly events called Unfiltered, and they're all around feminine essence, and because I do my shows all around intimate health and the whole person. And it's the opportunity for women to come together and have these literally unfiltered, raw, open, honest conversations that you have put into an app that allow women to be able to speak openly and suddenly realize actually there's something that can track it. There are different platforms, and these platforms are now finally getting the tractions. A lot of the social media has its algorithms and it still keeps quieting us down, but the fact that you've got over 100 million users means that regardless of what social media is doing, you have tapped into something really powerful. Why did you do it?
Well, the app was founded about 12 years ago by this wonderful Danish woman called Edith Tin. And she was just fed up, honestly, with that she could do so much with modern computing and run so much of her life. You know, you can run your 10, 12 years ago, you could do your banking online, you could organize to fly around the world, you could do so much about our daily lives. And yet the most important thing around our lived health as women in terms of tracking and understanding your cycle, you couldn't do. And she just thought this is not good enough. And so she set out to build an answer to that. And really her premise and the premise of the Clue product is that tracking equals data, data equals insight, and insight equals agency. And that's just what we want women to have. And often what we haven't had in our reproductive health in particular is around agency, right? So, you know, we don't have a point of view on what the woman should do with the data. It's her data and it's her choices around what she does. We just want her to have the agency and have the data in her hands to make the choices that work best for her.
I love that. So I'm just going to ask you that again. Can you just say it again, the 4 points, how you just said it? Can you just repeat them?
Sure. So the idea of the app is that tracking your lived experiences, tracking equals data, data equals insight, and insight equals agency. And that's what we want women to have around their health, and to have agency in their hands, the data of their own lives and their own experiences in their hands, so that they can choose what's best for them.
Yeah. And I think this is actually fantastic, because for sometimes we just need to see it, right? Mm-hmm. We literally just need to see it, because, you know, for us individually, I'm having a period, you're having a period, she's having a period, she's having a period. But we're all having them in our own way with our own experiences. You know, my experiences, I get real cramps when I had my periods. They disappeared a long time ago. But when I had my periods, you know, between 16 and 19, I only had three. Nobody told me that I had some serious hormonal imbalance. I just thought this was fantastic. You know, I'm only bleeding 3 times a year. But the day my period started, I'd pass out, I'd vomit. And for the first half of the day, I couldn't do anything, because I literally, as soon as I stood up, I was on the floor, passed out. Then I'd wake up and I'd be thrown up everywhere. And I couldn't function for the first half a day. Then I'd bleed heavy on the first day. And 2 days later, my period was finished. It only lasted 3 days. I thought, well, I can endure this. I don't know when I'm going to be sick. I don't know when it's going to come again. But it's only 3 times a year. Your experience, totally, totally different. The next person's totally different. But if nobody's tracking and giving us anything and giving us any autonomy or any data, then we're just thinking it's normal. But we're not realizing that it's actually the start of something that's going to follow us into our journey through life and can contribute to where we find ourselves when we get to menopause.
100%. And I think this question of, am I okay? Is this normal? These are the two of the questions we see women asking consistently over and over again, and looking to our product to help them build their own data set, build their own map of their own health, so that they can answer that for themselves.
So let's go through some of these things that were found on your thing. So, I mean, like you said, you know, 280 million days of bleeding logged, 767,000 years of periods if carried by one person, right? So that's not biology. This, like, global labor costs borne by women's bodies. This is what we're paying for. It's that unpaid, it's an unpaid health debt, right? So we happen to
100%.
Do. And I mean, I trademarked physical pension plan. You didn't see when you came on, I'd already had my camera on, but if I had my camera off, you'd see I have this trademarked physical pension plan investment program. And it's an opportunity for us to understand that if we, things like this Clue gives us information and agency to be able to tap into this physical well-being that will allow us to get to the end of our reproductive life cycle and have a better menopause experience. But if we don't do that, it's hard. So for me, it's like, so the question I'm going to ask you then is, what does this level of global bleeding data tell us about the real cost of ignoring the menstrual conversation?
I think it tells us that women's pain in particular, when you look at the data around the amount of pain that women are logging and tracking, is still dramatically underdiagnosed and undertreated. And, you know, I think we've all had that experience where, you know, when you're in pain, you just described the incredible crippling pain you suffered as a young person when you were having your periods for the first time. Everything else falls away. We can't function. And yet actually women are carrying on their shoulders collectively, households and communities across the world. And yet when we're in physical pain, how do we do all of that? I mean, miraculously, many, many, many people do. And yet that underdiagnosis and undertreatment of the pain, I think, is really, it's shocking to me still how ignored it is, and how much just sheer pain people live in and carry on with.
Well, this is it. So the other thing that I have this, She Comes First, I call it. And each letter of She Comes First stands for a different area of health, but we are the she, and the she is self, hormones, emotions, because literally that is it. That's who we are. We are just literally, and our self is like a triangle. It's self-love, self-care, self-awareness. This comes under the self-love, care, and awareness, because it's based on our hormones and our emotions, and our emotions impact our hormones, and they're impacted by the way in which we love, care, and are aware about ourselves, right? So I that's the she, right? Yeah. That's the triangle, that's it. And then, of course, if you look at 13, the number 13 is transformation. But because you have the triangle of three, well, three is completion anyway, right? It makes it 15, and 15 is around accountability and responsibility. I think what happens is, for me, it's from menstruation to menopause, because these 767,000 years of periods, right, if carried by one person, and these days of bleeding, if there are 10% of those people who have the same experience that I had, and they're in the workforce, that's days lost from productivity. So when we look at women's health and intimate health, to just have a different plan for menopause and not have one for menstruation and even maternity is, I'm going to say stupid, but it's silly. It makes no sense, because, you know, a lot of the hormonal issues that women experience in menopause, they experience in menstruation.
100% agree with you. And I think, you know, women's health is our health, but it's also our community's health, right?
Exactly.
It's the household's health. It's the family's health. It's our work. But health is a deeply communal endeavor. You know, we have this myth often in the West that health is purely individual, but it's not. Just the act of...
It's collective, isn't it?
It is collective. And so when we ignore women's health, we actually ignore and undermine our collective health as well. And yet if we are to support women's health and empower them and give, you know, enable them to live healthy, full lives, then we lift up everyone. You know, it's I think the definition of a win-win-win if we can do that. And yes, this, you know, the there is not enough research and evidence around why do, for example, do we all experience perimenopause differently, even though we all have to go for it. There is some evidence that, you know, our mother's experience might be what we might experience. And as you say, you know, what we experience in, for example, our luteal phase or our PMS phase, we might see echoes of that come through into perimenopause. It is not, there are no hard lines. We are holistic systems. You know, the body is not the body is not a clock, and there's no like hard line between our ovaries and the rest of our body. We're one integrated system, and hormones are, you know, I often think of hormones as sort of being the messengers between our minds and our bodies.
Well, they are,
you know?
Aren't they?
Everything does come back to hormones. And so when we don't get enough education about it, and then we don't know for ourselves what our own baseline looks like, how can we navigate that? It's, you know, we're put in a position where we're asked to operate kind of in the dark, which I don't think works.
No. And I think also, like you said, hormones are, that's what they are. They're messengers. And energy is energy in motion, right? Emotions are energy in motion. But that energy in motion is also a messenger, because that energy sets in motion a hormonal response. That's what it does.
Yeah.
So the energy in motion goes, right. So it's like, I don't like you, I'm angry. So then that's like, right, cortisol, adrenaline, fire up, you know. And so then we suddenly shunt that oxygen away from the organs, and we send it to the muscles, because the muscles think, fight, run, which one?
Yeah.
And we start to negate the health of the organs, because we change our breathing. We don't realize that's all altered. And so, like you said, this integrated system, the energy sets in motion, the emotion sets off a whole sort of like cascade of hormones, changes in breath, changes in how things flow through the body. See what's happening, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think women sort of instinctively know that, even though we don't get taught it. In our app, we see that, you know, obviously the period itself is the most tracked category, but the three top tracked categories after that are pain, mood, and energy. Because what is health? The absence of pain, being in control of your mood, it not being in control of you, and your energy, you're having the energy to do the things that you want to do. And you can only self-observe those things. If we could, if we could somehow passively monitor pain, women's pain wouldn't be so underdiagnosed and disbelieved. But that pain, you were talking about triangles earlier, that pain, mood, energy triangle, we talk about internally as the clue is sort of the triangle of good health, right? And health and wellness. And women are looking to track and understand in our app, what is going on in my life? So they track all sorts of, you know, they track their exercise, they track their sex lives, they track what's going on at their stress levels, their mind, against those three, against their pain, mood, and energy, to build their maps and understand, you know, what is it for me that creates that triangle of not being in pain, of being in the mood that I want and the energy that I want? And how do I recreate those circumstances or accept when I'm not feeling in that space that it's not me, it's not something catastrophic going on. It's, you know, it's cyclical, for example, and it will pass, and I can bear it with a bit of grace and be kind to myself about it.
Amen. And I think we just need to come together, because that whole, I said, pain, mood and energy is the same as the triangle. Literally, when you track your chi, when you under your love, care, awareness, in line with your hormones and your emotions, you cannot have hormonal harmony if you don't have emotional empowerment. So when you understand what your chi is, then the comes first is connections, oxygen, movements that matter, exercise, because there is a difference between the two, sleep, food, intimate health, rehydration, sunlight, spirituality, and thoughts. So when you can track right across the spectrum, you can. I've got it as a bicycle wheel. So it's like I'm a cyclist as well. So if I've got a bent spoke on my bicycle wheel or a broken one, then it's going to be an uncomfortable ride. So if I can go through these 15 steps and understand, I can look and go, okay, I understand. I understand if I won't go to bed on time, I won't get enough sleep and that lack thereof, as we mentioned earlier, then something's going to be out emotionally, hormonally, you know, and literally, really and truly, I can't say that I have great self-care because I'm not realizing the importance or the attachment to sleep and self-care. So, you know, it's great. I mean, again, we can have loads of conversations. I'm very excited though. Very, very excited. If my show was not 50 minutes late, I'd make it the whole day. Just spend the whole day. We should have a whole women's health day. And funny enough, well, you mentioned earlier that, you know, if we track this for women, my last event this year is in on the 13th of December, and it's men's health. And a lot of women have said, can I come? And I said, of course, I want you to come, because I want to cover men's health, because it's very important for you to understand what men go through. Equally as important it is that every event I've done, I've had one or two men turning up, because I'm saying, of course you can come. When I spoke at an event in October, Hidden Science, Black Women's Health, this man came to me at the end and he said to me, thank you for sharing, because I didn't realize what my now ex was going through. But had I realized that, I would have been able to communicate or adjust accordingly and give the right support. Now I know how to go back and apologize.
Oh, that's beautiful. For me, that's amazing.
That's the most powerful thing for the whole day.
That's amazing. That's a really big moment. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. We you know, I said this when I talk in corporates as well. Look, a leader distracted is a team distracted. If your wife's had a really bad experience in pregnancy and childbirth and she's struggling to bond with the child, you can't return to intimacy because she got a bit trashed downstairs and whatever, then there's lots of emotional hormone. She doesn't feel herself. She's not bonding with the child. She's, you know, if she's been trashed downstairs, she outwardly links the experience of the childbirth to the child, to where she finds herself now. She's not the same person. But she could be a CEO in a company. You're a CEO in a company. You're both bringing in CEO money. And then she goes back to work and some young hot totty's been doing her job in maternity leave. And now she thinks mentally, emotionally, I can't cope. But she's not mentally, emotionally ready because she's not physically ready.
Yeah.
So she tells the husband, I don't want to go back to work. And now he's distracted because he's thinking, hold on a second. we've increased our lifestyle. We've got, how am I going to match this pay? What am I going to do? So he's distracted at work, but if he's distracted, his team is distracted. How can what happens in his house not impact what happens at work?
I totally agree. You know, I had a funny moment like this just a couple of months ago here at work, where I had a team member really concerned whether or not something was okay with the company, because she said to me, you look really tired at the moment. And I said, oh, I'm fine. She said, I'm just really worried because you seem really tired, as everything has been stressful. Everything was great with the company. I've got three kids, and the two younger ones just were not sleeping, and I was exhausted. And so there was this is your point about it, it's a holistic system, right? So I was struggling with.
And how great that she noticed and was concerned, right?
It was, and it showed me the care from her, and it also showed how holistic it is, right? Like, I was showing up looking tired, which was making her worried and concerned. Whereas this idea that things are separate is a fallacy. It's not separate. You know, my 8-year-old and 6-year-old not sleeping had an impact on the 34-year-old and her concern about the company and her job, right? Like, we are all interconnected because we are interconnected, and connection is what we do as people. And so this idea that I think really understanding the connections and how we can support each other in those connections is so important. I love that you're running events for men and women, and that both are coming to each, because that's how we will make progress, is together, not alone.
Exactly. And you know, at the end of the day, you've got feminine energy, you've got masculine energy. And if you look at the masculine energy as the architect and they do the building, the feminine energy, we're the finishing touches. You know, we're the ones that bring things to life, right? Literally, metaphorically and physically, we bring things to life. We're the ones that incubate, we're the ones that grow, and we're the ones that bring and then bring out. You plant the seed and we germinate it. So how is it that when we come to work and business, we talk and we act as if we're so different? And if we change the language inside the office, we can change so many things. She's not, oh, she's having another moment. No, she's not. She's not having another moment. She's having an experience that is physically making her uncomfortable, but emotionally making her worried because she's worried about how you see her and what things you're saying about her behind her back and has she gone to the toilet again? And so now she's not performing as well as she can do because physically she's in pain. That's what you talked about, right? Her mood is not right because she doesn't know what mood you're in and how you see it. And her energy is down because she's embarrassed, right? And so she's worried. So of course she's impacted by these things. So if we look at this other stat now, 44.6 million days of cramps, 122,000 hours of pain. So when they did this, they had this experiment a few months ago, earlier on this year, where they sort of tried to get men to wear like the heat vest and have an experience. I really didn't like that experience. I thought it doesn't work because it's not every woman that has hot flushes and has that experience. Now, if you could get some men to go through these muscle cramps, if you could get some men to step out of bed like I did and just pass out, start vomiting, can't move, can't stand up straight, if they could go through that experience, they will understand what we're going through. They will understand what we're going through. Putting a vest on. No, it doesn't work, right? So, you know, and again, it's not like you can't just call this women being dramatic. They're not just being dramatic, right? That global pain, you know, it's being normalized into silence, right? So, you
Yes,
know.
that is a very powerful point you just made there about it being normalized into silence. And this is, we have one of our lines that we repeat at work is it's not in your head, it's in your data. And we can normalize things
I
while
like
it's
that line
real.
as well. We're stealing, we just
Yeah,
steal from each
go
other.
take it. But you're right, because we can normalize into silence, or we can normalize into just talking about things and making it normal and straightforward, and like it's no big deal. It's just the way bodies work. And I think this, the silence doesn't help any of us. It doesn't help any of us understand each other. It doesn't help us understand ourselves. It doesn't help us be healthier. Silence is antithetical to health, right? We need to be able to talk about these things to actually
That's right.
explore and uncover what we need for health.
Yeah, so you've answered my question. I was going to ask you, why do you think menstrual pain has become something women have expected to endure instead of address, right? And we both spoke about it already. We've answered that question. And this is where we need to get to. But you know what I want to jump to? I want to jump to the sex.
Yeah, go for
I
it.
really do, right? So sex, orgasms, and the pleasure literacy gap. That's what I, for me, I'm just thinking to myself, right? So we've got this, right? If we've got 34 million sex sessions and 4.4 million. So I did my notes. I did prepare for this one because I really like this one. But we've got 4.4 million orgasms tracked. Then I was thinking to myself, what does this gap reveal about women's relationship to their own pleasure? Because I'm thinking sex is happening, but
Yes.
pleasure isn't.
Well, I think your question is really, really spot on, because we too look at that data and go, wow. And so we do a lot of, I mean, the data can tell you one thing. It's also really important to speak deeply with people. We're really obsessed with user research and at Clue. And, you know, we all speak as often as we can long form with women. You know, for example, I interview women every week still. It's my Friday treats. It's the
Excellent.
best part of my week.
Oh, lovely.
And when we dig into this, into what is this gap, there are two things that emerge. The first is that there is a gap. Women do experience less pleasure than they should and that they deserve. The second is they also, your point around what is their relationship with their own pleasure, they deprioritize or minimize the importance of their pleasure. So they may have had an orgasm in that when they had sex on that particular occasion, but they often will minimize it as whether it's important or not to track. You know, it becomes sort of a secondary, it becomes secondary even as women's pleasure becomes secondary, even in their
Ladies,
own minds.
track your orgasms. They're amazing. And you know, it's interesting because there's that leap surgery that people can have. You know, they took the HPV and they take a part of a layer of the cervix away. And for a lot of women, when they've had that surgery, they can no longer have orgasms. So sometimes you have to lose something before you actually begin to realize that was really important to me.
Exactly. And women's sexual health is really important. And everything that you've talked about around the alignment and, you know, pleasure is around aligning ourselves in our bodies and in ourselves and in the moment. And women, when we deny, because socially we're often supposed to put it last, or, you know, it's somehow taboo to talk about, or it's just, you know, really interestingly, when you know, I mentioned that, you know, I interview extensively with women, and it's the thing they're most uncomfortable to talk to me about. Women will talk to me in great detail and comfort around their pain or their stool or all sorts of other experiences. But to talk about their pleasure feels much scarier and much more taboo for women. I feel it myself. You know, here we're surrounded by this all day, every day, and yet I find myself hesitating when it comes to talking about it. There's something where we are conditioned to put our pleasure last, and yet we know how beneficial from a health point of view an orgasm is in terms of how it aligns so much inside of us. You know, the hormonal cascade is beautiful, what happens in the female body when that happens. And yet somehow this continual kind of minimizing and pushing away. And I think that's what we see captured in the data, both in terms of actual pleasure gaps, so fewer orgasms, and even when there are orgasms, women themselves just going, well, why would I track that? It's not important. Yeah. But it is important.
Do you know, I think that's a really, really good point, just before we go to break. That's such a powerful point, because that I have had friends before who told me they've never had an orgasm. So I think I think I'm just a silly horny cow, but that was the old days before menopause came and things changed. But anyway, and that's the other thing I say to people: when you're single, we'll come back and discuss that. But when you're single and you're going into menopause, you're not understanding the biological changes that are happening downstairs. You can't see; it's all internal. But as a Christian as well, you know, you're holding back. These things still need to be exercised, because otherwise they disappear. You know, you know, if I look at like the top five best feelings in the world, you know, the orgasm for me comes at number one, right? Yeah. But when you talk to women, and some women say, you know, and I've had women that have cried, when I used to have a clinic in Harley Street, women that come in and they cry and say, you know, like, I've never, you know, what does an orgasm feel like? I've never had one. And literally, I just want to hold them. Like, I feel bad. But it sounds mad. It's not, like you said, you're having this conversation, people are thinking, are they, no, it's not being rude. It's what the body is able to do and to experience. It's what it does to you hormonally, you know, what it does in, like you said, in terms of the alignment with inside of the body, you know, it's what it does to it also keep you well and keep you whole, right? So all of these things are being missed out by such a big section of women, that if women understood that, I suppose, then really they might think, oh yeah, I'll track my orgasm. You know, I'll track those things, because every part of me is important. You know, when that man ejaculates and has his orgasm, that's like his big moment. You know, we know he's had his big moment, and then he's got to sleep. He's got to recover, right? But our big moments come in different ways. You know, sometimes you'll have the orgasm, and after they've died, you're still having orgasms. You know, that's how it's supposed to. That's how life is supposed to be. That's when I can thank God. You know, he made me fearfully and wonderfully. So, you know, but it's not being rude. It's not being rude. I'm not telling everyone to go out there and jump the first thing that moves. I'm just saying, when you understand how your body works, and when you understand the beauty that's inside of your body and how it's encapsulated, you know.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage, or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We're back. What were you going to say? We're back.
I was just going to agree with you 100%. I just think it's so important. And so I think there's so much that, so much of what can be wrong in our health comes from disconnected with our embodied selves. And, you know, pleasure is actually really, I think, almost the apex of the expression of this, right? That we divorce ourselves from pleasure, that we treat it as though it's somehow this fluffy, extraneous, like, thing on top. But actually, the body is a whole system. Everything is connected. Everything serves a purpose. And we are, when we are aligned and we are whole in our health and in our wellness, pleasure is not some kind of frivolous add-on. It is a critical component of that whole health and well-being that we're looking for. And it hurts my soul to hear that story, you know, and we hear that too from women saying similar things around that level of disconnect that somehow we force on ourselves, when actually it's healthy and natural, and we should celebrate that as opposed to somehow sort of, you know, treating it as something to feel awkward about and that we don't want to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, when I've spoken with women, and you mentioned it to the, even just with pelvic floor, you mentioned that, they're kind of, and I get this, I get answers like, well, I'll come and see you when it goes wrong. And I think, fantastic. Do the same with your car. Do the same with your washing machine. Do the same with your cooker. Wait for it to go wrong and then look after it. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. I'm not asking you to be aware of your pelvic floor so that, you know, for me, I say there's six rewards: flatter abs, better shaped butt, better shaped thighs, improved posture, dry knickers always, great sex. Which one don't you want? But I was on this, you know, when I published this book in 2005, I was on This Morning in 2006, right? Mm-hmm. And that title there, I was washing the dishes, dropped into my head, Can a Vagina Really Buy a Mercedes? Works with no other car, only works with that one. But what I said to them when they asked me the questions, I said, all right, let's put sex to one side. Because for me, The sex, that's the ultimate reward. But actually, this set of muscles that lines your pelvic basin is the foundation of your trunk. So it's involved in stability. It's involved in movement. It's involved in safety and security and survival. It's involved in sex and relationships. It's involved in your financial situation. It's involved in every aspect of you, physically, hormonally, emotionally. It's involved, right? So, you know, everything.
In no other realm of our life would we not say strong foundations. We say it all the time about building every other metaphor. Why would we not also want a strong foundation? And your point again earlier about normalizing silence, right? We normalize it in the silence, and yet we miss out so much. I love this. I think you're so right. I mean, why on earth would we have so much messaging around how you have to, you know, keep fit and strong and healthy on all your muscles? Oh, except this really critical component that actually literally holds you up.
Exactly, that whole job. And that's the link, that's the gateway that links your inner and outer world. And if you look at it, it's like your legs link into it, your trunk sits on it, your organs, your internal organs sit on it, your arms link into your trunk sits on it, your head sits on your trunk sits on it. Everything meets here, you know? And then ultimately, when you're having great sex and when you're having intimacy, what are you using? The pelvis. It's just, it's all in the hip. It's all in the hip. I mean, come on.
It's all in the
hip. Hip, hip, hooray.
I love it.
That's what I say. Anyway, so let's get back on track. Sorry. Right, so I'm going to come back to Gen Z in a moment. I'm going to segue and come back. So, okay. So period product reality check, right? So trust and trends. So then you've got 63% people using pads still. You've got tampons 14%. And the reusable hype, real behavior. But I think it's really important now for us to, I know there are some reusable pads or not reusable pads, biodegradable pads, because we know that one pad takes 400 years to break down, right? So you know, people, they're not just following trends. They want to follow trust. They want something they can trust and they can use, right? But why do you think reusable products haven't replaced tradition, even when with all the hype of the changes around what's there?
I think two things, one which is mechanical and one which is very social. So the very mechanical thing is just distribution. The distribution isn't as effective as, you know, more kind of traditional classic. I mean, I guess they're not traditional because traditionally it was reusable, but the current, current paradigm that we operate in, you know, if you think about it, if you just rush down to the corner store because you need to get some because your period's coming, it's the disposable stuff that will be on the shelves, right? Mm. You go into the supermarket, you're faced with, you have to work really quite hard to find reusable or renewable or biodegradable products in this space now. The distribution just isn't there. So that's the sort of mechanical problem that can be solved. But the second is the social side, where we're so conditioned to see periods as bad and dirty, even though menstrual blood is so full of nutrients and evidence and really important information about our health and our bodies. We're conditioned to see it as somehow bad. Therefore, the appeal of products that abstract it away from our sight or our smell or our touch and make us feel like it's, you know, we're kind of controlling it and pushing it away, it's a self-reinforcing cycle. And so people choose the option, or they are afraid to choose the option where they think they might be, it might be messier, or in fact, and that's a misconception, right? A lot of these products are not that way at all. And where we have that misconception because of the level of taboo and shame still around it, people are just looking to kind of out of sight, out of mind, and so go with what's there.
And I suppose really the third thing with that would also probably be costs. If the distribution isn't there and the availability isn't as wide, then the cost is going to be higher. And so, 100%. You know, obviously where people are struggling at the moment, wherever you can save, you're going to save. So, you know, we're kind of pushing it into the next generation. They're the ones that have to deal with stuff we're leaving behind. And this is why I drive so much to try and help women to understand that incontinence is also seen as the first stage of organ prolapse, and it's not a natural part of the aging process. Me, sassy, sexy, 63, I do not line my knickers with anything, right? I ain't got time for that rubbish. So as far as I'm concerned, and I just come back from playing tennis, I captain the team, I do whatever. But what I'm saying is that, you know, incontinence is not a natural part of the aging process. It may be, you know, weakened ligaments, poor diet, it's, you know, poor posture, it's, you know, excessive because you have poor inner unit strength. So everything's just going down onto the pelvic floor. That's what it is over time. And, you know, us for women, you know, a 1-inch heel can alter the pelvic angle by 22 degrees. So all these high heel shoes we're using, we've got this anterior pelvic tilt, the bladder's just behind the, you know, behind the, in front of the pubic bone, and everything's been pushed. So the bladder falls onto the pubic bone, sorry, so it's being squashed. And just because the pelvis has changed position and the bladder's changed position, it starts to feel, hits the bone, and then you just have this need to go to the toilet, but you've got these lengthened ligaments that then can't quite seal properly. And so you, and a weak inner unit, because no one's working the lower abdominal, because everyone wants a six-pack above the belly button. So we're not recognizing mechanics of the body, coming back to biology and mechanics. And so we find ourselves in this position. And then we're getting older. And then, of course, you've got all the jokes and the stigma attached to that. Bring it right back round to work. And if you've got incontinence and you've got poor and bad period experiences, you'll spend more time in the bathroom at work. What's that look like?
Exactly. Guided. And you, it's just,
and you're not.
Exactly. It's exactly the and your point around, again, it's normalizing the silence, right? So people live with this and they think, oh, I just have to put up with it. I just have to suffer. Nobody wants, the number of women I speak to who don't want to go to the office when they have heavy bleed, you know, when they're heavy bleeding or through incontinence, or, you know, these things that people then self opt out of being fully participating members of their world and their society because of the stigma and the shame and the silence around things that exactly what you're describing can be addressed. And we can, we can help ourselves and be helped by other people and not have to live with these. And yet this kind of makes women's world smaller and makes their ability to be beautiful, flourishing members of their communities. It restricts that. And I find this deeply heartbreaking, because the not talking about it means that nothing gets better and they just kind of get more and more in this narrowed field of action, if that makes sense.
It does. It does. Makes a lot of sense.
I cannot believe, really interesting, right, that we
still have 20 minutes of that interview left. And I used 9 minutes at the beginning of the show just to introduce you to men's health. Isn't she lovely? Isn't that a great conversation? So you know, part two, the last 20 minutes, will be in next week's show. And I have another interview as well that I'm really sorry, I don't have any space to share it today. I feel so bad. But it'll be shared next week. But if you want to find Clue, you can get it on all the apps, Android, any app store, wherever you get your apps from. It's just literally called Clue. It's a fantastic app. If you're still of menstruating age, then it's definitely something worth investing in. But Rhiannon and I are going to be looking at something for International Women's Day at Unfiltered in Soho. And it's great. Even though she's in Berlin, we have a beautiful screen. She's got somebody over here and we're going to come together. So, at Pelvic Secrets, pelvicsecrets at iCloud.com. Jenny Russell, LinkedIn, Facebook, Pelvic Floss Secrets. You can buy the book Pelvic Floss Secrets from jennyrussell.com. You can get your tickets for Unfiltered, jennyrussell.com. Or you can go to Eventbrite and type in Unfiltered Soho, 13th of December, London. But until next week in health and happiness, I can't believe it. You know, listen, if you didn't have a clue before, let me tell you, Rhiannon White gave you everything you needed for life and liberty. So, in love and life and happiness, stay blessed, stay well, and definitely stay safe.